So I only listened to Naked.
Okay.
What did you listen to?
I listened to both of them together.
Wow.
I created a new playlist and I put each song back to back.
All right, so that helps me with all the questions I have for you. So this album came out in what, November of 70? May of 1970. Because 2 weeks later, McCartney's first album comes out right after this. So there's a Beatles album out there in May, and also McCartney's first solo album's out there, which is crazy if you think about it. I can't believe we're almost to the end of these, man. It's crazy. April of 1970. So it actually came out first. So McCartney's first solo album comes out before Let It Be comes out. So I remember reading that that Ringo, they the George and John had asked Ringo to go over and ask Paul to delay his solo album to be released, and he refused because he was all upset with the band still. Did he sue the band or did the band sue him?
I don't remember the details, but I know they John brought in Alan Klein to manage the Beatles,
And he wanted
and yeah, he wanted his father-in-law to Paul wanted his father-in-law to do it, Linda's father.
Yeah.
And so they had these two financial managers going up against each other, and I think that's what brought on the lawsuits.
And for a year or something, all their money was tied up. They didn't have anything, right? Because I remember reading an article about how Paul moved to the farm in Scotland and he was virtually broke because he couldn't touch any of his money because it was all tied up in litigation with the band, which put him in a deep depression, I guess. And then, Ram, he must have wrote Ram in that time too, because that came out very shortly after McCartney.
Was there an insert with the McCartney album? I remember seeing something about a Q&A, and that's when McCartney let on that the Beatles had broken up.
I think that was an article in Life magazine.
Okay, so it was an interview. I thought it was included with the album, though.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But I remember reading an article in Life magazine online a couple of years back, and he basically told them that, yeah, he basically came out right then and said, yeah, the band's not getting back together.
I just recall reading in one of the Beatles bios that that also upset John because he wanted to be the first one to announce that the Beatles had broken up, and Paul let it slip before it had been officially announced in this Q&A. And I thought it was an insert with the McCartney LP, but I've never owned the McCartney LP, like a physical copy of the McCartney LP. I just have it as a download, so I don't have the liner notes, and I definitely don't have the original liner notes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit here that basically talks about what I just talked about, his respite to the farm in Scotland. Wait a minute. Promotional Q&A and the Beatles breakup. On April 9th, McCartney released a Q&A package to the British press in which he explained his reasons for making his solo album and described its overall themes as home, family, and love.
Okay.
McCartney stated in the interview he did not know whether his breakup with the Beatles would be temporary or permanent. That same day, McCartney called Lennon, who was undergoing primal scream therapy at the time, to tell him that his album was coming out, but he made no mention of leaving the band. McCartney's intention was not necessarily to break up with the band, cites Beatles confidant Ray Connolly, but recalled that McCartney was devastated by the press interpretation of his interview. After its original publication in the Daily Mirror on April the 10th, Mark Hertzgaard writes that the newspaper headlines around the world reduces to screaming variations of Paul breaks up the Beatles. So that came out shortly before the McCartney album came out. So it
Okay.
wasn't included in the album, but it came out shortly before the album came out. So Yeah, McCartney comes out April 17th, 1970. Let It Be comes out May 8th, 1970. So, you know, almost a month apart. That's crazy, but McCartney was a number one album in the States, so it didn't hurt the sales of Let It Be, because I just read this morning that it's gone 4 times platinum. But I didn't look and see how many albums the first McCartney album sold. But have you heard that album?
Not all the way through, not yet.
Yeah, it's you know, it's stripped down, and well, Maybe I'm Amazed is on there. And another one I like is Junk, but it's not. It's a strange album, but we'll talk about it in a couple weeks when you hear it.
Yep.
So you got any introductory comments before we get into it?
Yeah, well, I haven't done exhaustive research on the history of the album, but I still have to remind myself that Let It Be was recorded before Abbey Road, because I'm so used to the release order.
Exactly.
And you keep hearing about Let It Be as the album where the Beatles broke up. It's the when they were filming the documentary about the album, you can see them, the tension, and you can see the band breaking up before your eyes. And then you have to remind yourself, no, wait a second, Abbey Road was recorded after Let It Be. So the band didn't actually break up.
Yeah. The sessions broke down, which were originally called Get Back, and then George, I guess, had temporarily left the band at that time, and then Paul got everybody back together.
Well, the first one to leave was Ringo, and that was back during the White Album.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he took off for a couple days.
But somehow they got back together and did the Abbey Road. But
Have you seen the Let It Be movie?
It's probably been since the early 80s when it was on the first format that was called Laserdisc, when you used to have to shove them into that machine.
You saw it on Laserdisc?
Yeah. Remember the original Laserdiscs, they didn't come out of the... It was like a shield that was over the movie, and you kind of put...
Yeah, that's not exactly Laserdisc. I think that's called, like, Select Vision or something.
That's how I saw Let It Be. And I haven't seen it since then, so that's probably been since the early 80s.
Yeah, I think I saw it on TV before cable.
That's going way back.
Well, it's around the same time. But, yeah. I only saw it the one time, and I really did not like the movie. It was very uncomfortable to watch. You could recognize the tension in that room.
See, I don't remember any of that, but I'd love to see it again.
But it's as soon as they started playing, it was great. When they were playing together, it was great. It was just like a little concert movie. But as soon as they were done, you could just tell that they did not want to be in the same room together.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember something in Paul in the recording studio where John's doing something out in the... Paul's in the engineering room and John's doing something in the studio. I can't remember what song it was, though. Is that ever going to come out on Blu-ray, or what's the story with that?
They've been talking about it. Every year or so, I hear rumors that they're going to release it, and I think that they just get cold feet. As soon as something is announced, then it gets retracted.
Because wasn't the original idea to put out Let It Be Naked and then put out the movie on Blu-ray? Wasn't that the plan?
They just wanted to do like a cleaned up version of Let It Be, like a additional CD to complement the release of the movie. And then they changed their minds and just concentrated on Let It Be Naked.
So
it would be like an expanded CD of Let It Be instead of a remix of Let It Be.
Gotcha. So is the idea they're not putting this out because there's so much, like you said, tension in the video, and they don't want to, you know, relive that? I've heard that rumor that Ringo doesn't want anybody to see it anymore because it was so rough, like you said.
Yeah, I think they might just simply be embarrassed by it. By their appearance in it.
I mean, they got some great tunes on the album, though. I mean, they got some great music on it. And that rooftop concert is awesome, no matter what. So, that's in the original movie, right? The rooftop concert?
Yeah, that's how it ends.
That's right. That was on Anthology, though, right?
Yeah, there are bits of it in Anthology. But I don't think the entire rooftop concert's there. Because yeah. That's like, well, actually it couldn't be because it's like 20 minutes long and they redid three songs a couple times.
Right.
I think they did a total of five songs, but three of those songs are repeated. So there's no way you want to sit through three versions of Get Back and two versions of Don't Let Me Down or Bring Me Down.
Yeah, Don't Let Me Down.
I've forgotten what the title is already. And what was the other one they did two of? Let me see. They did I've Got a Feeling Twice.
Okay. Which I love that song, too.
Don't Let Me Down there. I think I get that confused with the Elton John song. No, there's also, there's an ELO song that's like that,
and then
too.
The guy dies in between this show and our last show, so that
I'm sorry. What you just said got lost, so you're going to have to repeat it.
Oh, I said before we get started, I want to apologize to Joe Cocker's family for ripping on his covers of his Beatle tunes over the last couple shows, since now he's deceased, so my apologies there. And I want to give a shout-out to this guy named Bill. He's a drummer in a band called Remedy, and last night he did a killer cover of the Golden Slumbers medley. It was fantastic.
Cool.
So I want to say hi to him because he says he's going to listen to the show now. He's a huge Paul fan, and so he told him I'd give him a shout-out, and he said he'd listen to the show. So that's about all I got. Oh, and one more thing. I want to thank our producers and our editors for the great job they've done all year long. Last week's show probably was our best. A lot of hard work to our editors and our producers, so I want to give them hats off and a salute. Since this is our end of the year show.
I'll have to pass that along to the squad of Korean animators that we have working round the clock.
Yeah, this is a hard show to get out there, so let's thank everybody for all their hard work. That's all I got. You want to get into it?
Sure. Let it be.
So I'm looking at the Naked track list, so you want me to start there?
I think that we should stick with the original track list, since that's what we were doing with the other CDs. We were going by the UK track list, so I think we should stick with the original Let It Be track list. That's what I think.
All right, let me get back there then.
And besides, that's what people are more familiar with. Well, the first track is Two of Us.
All right, give me what you got.
I remember reading that John liked this song, one of the few later McCartney songs that he actually took a shine to, and he thought it was Paul talking about their childhood together, their adolescence together. And,
but it's not.
Yeah, it's not. I thought it was too, but I read later that Paul was actually singing about him and Linda doing all these things.
Yep. I'm sure that was a blow.
I don't know if John ever knew that. I think he probably assumed what he assumed and just stuck with that.
It's a great lyric, though. I like the lyric, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, you and I have memories longer than the road that stretches out ahead. I think that's just wonderful. And when you think about it, that sounds like it could be about John.
Yeah.
And
him.
And when I heard that it wasn't, I was kind of shocked, too. And it just puts a different spin on the song. I mean, it's kind of sad it's not about him and John when you think about it. But I love this song. What do you think?
No, it's a good song. I like it. It's a nice way to start off the album, although it doesn't start off Let It Be Naked.
And the guitar is great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a simple song, but pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm giving it a thumbs up. The next one on the original list is Dig a Pony. I thought this was a great John vocal. I thought it was awesome, and I thought Paul's harmonies were good. And I like when they break it down, and all I want is you. And the guitar sounds great. Song might be a little long. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's like over 3 minutes. It's close to 4 minutes, actually. But that's including the studio stuff that is chopped off of Let It Be Naked.
Yeah, it just seems a little long to me.
I forgot to mention that the one thing I don't like about Two of Us on Let It Be Naked is that it fades out too fast. And I'm really not sure why.
That happens with Get Back, too.
Because the Two of Us on Let It Be, on the original Let It Be, actually comes to an ending. They do that whistling refrain, but then Right. They actually stop. But on Let It Be Naked, they do the whistling refrain, and they fade out before it comes to a stop. And I'm not really sure why they did that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you on a lot of these songs what the differences were. I thought you'd probably pick up on that. So what's the difference with Dig a Pony?
I believe they're the same take. Let me check my web source that I have preloaded. Yeah, it's a remix of the same recording. It's from the Apple Rooftop concert. And they eliminated the false start and also the closing dialogue. And the thing I like the false start because it gives it a live feel that you kind of expect. Because the whole reason for Let It Be was a look at the creation of a Beatles album.
Exactly.
And that gets taken away with Let It Be Naked. You're just left with the album, the result of the work. You don't get to experience the creation of it. And the thing I miss about the closing dialogue of Dig a Pony is that they play the first two notes of Across the Universe, which leads perfectly right into Across the Universe. And so that's missing. And of course, Across the Universe is not the next song on Let It Be Naked anyway. But
exactly.
I miss how those two songs just lead right into it. One song leads right into the next song.
Yeah, that's kind of, you're right. When I think about it now, yeah, that's a little different. All right, you want to get into Across the Universe, which is a Lennon song. This is one of my favorite John songs, but on Naked, it's really stripped down. And I like the Naked version better. But it's such a beautiful song. The lyrics are great. It might be one of my favorite Beatles songs. I just love this song.
Mm-hmm.
The version on Naked isn't overproduced, which I think is what I like about the Naked release. I like how John's voice is kind of trailing off in parts of it, and it just sounds great. This is a wonderful song. And on the one of the past masters, there's that with the birds are chirping and flying. That was a release for a promotional release for some kind of wildlife charity, wasn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that version's pretty good too, but we'll get to that in a couple weeks. What are your feelings on this? I love it. Thumbs up.
I believe that this version is the same as that wildlife version, but without the added sound effects, and they also slowed it down to the proper speed.
Okay.
And then Phil Spector added an orchestra and a heavenly choir on top of that. And I think the choir is a bit much. I do, too. But then again, this song kind of, I mean, a heavenly choir seems appropriate since we're talking about, you know, the whole expanse of the universe. So I like it and don't like it at the same time.
Yeah.
The original version.
Right.
I do like the Let It Be Naked version, too. It's a nice alternate. But then they add tons of echo to the vocal by the end. On the naked version.
Okay.
They let reverb creep in a little bit more and a little bit more, and then by the end of the song, it's nothing but echo. And I don't know if I'm a big fan of that. So,
I hear what you're saying.
So the Let It Be Naked version is probably a step closer to what John originally wanted, but I still don't think we're there yet. I don't think we've gotten the perfect mix of Across the Universe yet.
You might be right. So if you had to pick out of the two, which one, or out of three, which one are you going with?
It might be Let It Be Naked. This probably is the one song that I prefer on Let It Be Naked over Let It Be. And I was listening to the two albums last night and this morning, and I'm so familiar with Let It Be, the original Let It Be, that that's just the version I like better. Even though there are improvements with Let It Be Naked, I am just so used to hearing the original Let It Be mix that that's the one I kind of prefer, that I wind up preferring.
Yeah, I'm on the fence, but I think since this is the version that McCartney, the negative version is the version that McCartney intended for the project, I kind of lean to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is supposed to be the official way the Beatles wanted it, the naked version. So I don't know. I'm torn too. You're right. I mean, we've had the original mix since 1970. So to come back in 2003 and give us a different version is definitely crazy. But I kind of like it though.
It definitely sounds better.
Yeah. For sure.
The remix they did with Let It Be Naked just sounds great. It's got such a... I never noticed it before until I compared the two, but the original Let It Be has a kind of harsh sound to it, but Let It Be Naked has a beautiful, clear mix to it. And I read one of the websites I talked about when they were talking about... Or one of the websites I read, they were talking about Two of Us, and they said it's so crystal clear that you'd swear John and Paul are right in front of you singing this song to you. And yeah, you do get that feeling. It's a great mix.
I read that too. Yeah, that's cool sentiments. So how do you come down on the Phil Spector enhancements on the original release? Too much?
Yes and no, just like I was saying. I mean, the Heavenly Choir on some of the songs is a bit much, but at the same time, I am so used to hearing it that it doesn't really bother me that much.
So, you probably know this, a George Martin feel when they gave Phil Spector this album to do something with. I mean, what was his feeling since he had done everything with the band from the very beginning?
I'm sure it's been written about, but I don't remember.
I gotta believe he wasn't very happy.
Because he wasn't the original producer either. They also gave it to Glyn Johns, who was a producer with The Who and other 70s bands, 60s, 70s bands.
And they didn't like what he had done with it either.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem was, but he came up with an original track list. It's around on the web. I just saw it this morning. And for some reason, he dropped Across the Universe. He did not include Across the Universe in the original track list.
Wow. And
he also included a couple covers because the Beatles recorded tons of cover songs just to kind of warm up. And all those got filmed and recorded. So he included a couple of those in the track list.
So that's in the movie then?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there are some cover versions that are in the movie. And I know there are tons of bootlegs of those cover versions.
Yeah. I actually had a bootleg of Let It Be, the movie, from Japan. But the quality is so bad. It's a DVD, but I mean, it's just the quality is so terrible.
Yeah.
I end up giving it to my dad. I said, "You can watch it." I said, "I can't do it." It was just bad. And it seemed like everybody was zoomed in. Like the faces were like huge, you know?
Oh, really?
Like it's almost like somebody was taking a camcorder and, you know, zooming up to a TV to get, because it's also very shaky.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I couldn't watch it. The audio, from what I remember, wasn't that bad, surprisingly. So, I, Me, Mine, George Harrison.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What do you got?
Believe it or not, this was the last song that the Beatles ever recorded.
Really?
Yeah, because they never got a complete copy of this during the Get Back sessions. So after the fact, after Abbey Road, they sat down and finished up the recording of I, Me, Mine. And I just read that John was away, so he didn't even participate in this. But three of the four Beatles laid down overdubs and... And so that qualifies as the very last Beatle recording.
So John has nothing to do with this song at all?
Not the overdubs.
Oh, okay. So the original recording he's obviously on.
Yeah, the original recording, the basic tracks were part of the Get Back sessions, but they never finished the recording. And so they finished it in Abbey Road a year or two later, I don't know the timeline, but after the production of Abbey Road. So this right here is the very last track that the Beatles worked on.
And this is George talking about the infighting in the band, right?
Is that true?
I think it is. I me mine. I think he was saying, you know, he was basically saying I me, you know, the band, different people in the band wanted different things. They, for, you know, I and then me and mine, and you know, that's what I've always read. But the lyric is it's my favorite in the whole song. Flowing more freely than wine. I just think that's really cool. And this is a great Harrison vocal, I think. I think this is a pretty good song. It's not George's best, but I mean, I enjoy this song. I think it's kind of cool. It's not too long either. I mean, it's just right on the time.
The original Let It Be version, the Phil Spector version, he did an edit that kind of doubled the length of the song. And
really?
Yeah. And I'm not sure. I think they recreated that for Let It Be Naked, but they also removed the orchestra overdub that Phil Spector did. And I believe the original minute or 90-second I Me Mine is on Anthology. So if you want to hear just what they recorded, it's on Anthology 3.
There you go. So where do you come down on this song? What do you think of it?
It's okay. I really don't... I don't find it all that noteworthy, really.
Skipping it, if you...
No, I wouldn't skip it. But it's kind of like an afterthought song to me. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, this song's on there.
So, being that this is their last song ever recorded, they kind of went out on... To go out on this, I don't know about all that. I don't think I'd go out on this song.
Well, it's not the last song they recorded, it's the last song they worked on.
Right, right.
It's not like they said, here, guys, I have written the final song that we should do. It's just that's the way it worked out. This is the last song they worked on.
Yeah, that's a good bit of trivia. That's crazy. Dig It. So Dig It's not on Naked.
Correct. It's just a snippet, just a little song snippet that leads into Let It Be. And I think that the producers of Let It Be Naked thought about including it, but they felt that it didn't fit with the feel of the album. The album that they were creating.
Gotcha.
The polished, you know, album that they wanted.
So that just goes right into Let It Be. And I like this version on Naked. I think it's really cool. And I think it does definitely more intimate. You know, Paul's vocal is very intimate. And over the years, there's been a lot of gospel covers of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely not a gospel song. I mean, Mother Mary is not Christ's mother. It's Paul's mom.
Yeah, exactly. I was amused by that because there are so many people that think he's singing a really religious song and actually he's just singing about a dream he had about seeing his mom.
Yeah, and I mean, she died when he was 14, so obviously that, you know, is traumatic. And, you know, this is the song that he wrote about it. And it's just a beautiful lyric and song, and it's just, but it has nothing to do with any religious overtones at all. Most of the covers of this just aren't good. But that being said, this stripped down version of the song I think is really cool. The guitar solo that we've come to know over the years is much more subtle in this version, but I think it still works.
Yeah, the guitar solo in Let It Be Naked is the one that's on the film that they recorded live right there, and the guitar solo on Let It Be, the original, is an overdub mm-hmm. that George added.
Okay.
Or I should say that George added, emphasis on added, not on the fact that it was George playing, because it was George playing in the film version, too.
Yeah, how do you come down on these two versions? Because I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm so used to hearing Let It Be with the big orchestra in the background that I think the Let It Be Naked one is still good. It's just like an alternate universe copy of it. But it is good that it stands on its own. The Let It Be Naked, Let It Be does stand on its own. But I'm just so used to hearing the original one.
What's interesting is that McCartney, when he does these songs in concert, he does the original versions that were on the Let It Be from the 70s. So he doesn't do, you know, the naked versions. He does the versions we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, I noticed that when he redid Long and Winding Road for Give My Regards to Broad Street, that he did add like a larger band in the background that kind of imitated the Phil Spector arrangement.
Yeah, so
I thought that was kind of amusing. Here's his chance, Paul's chance to record the album, record the song the way he wants, and he still sided with the Phil Spector arrangement.
Yeah,
he didn't go overboard like Phil Spector did, but he went in that direction.
That's what was always crazy when I heard they were going to release this alternative mix of Let It Be, because he's been playing the songs as they were on the original release for years. So if he hated them so much, why don't you do the stripped down versions then? Yeah, that's a contradiction for sure. Maggie May, is that, that's not on Naked, right?
Yeah, correct. They dropped it for Let It Be Naked.
And it's just a snip. It's only 40 seconds, so.
Yep. Just a little impromptu jam of some old Liverpudlian pub song.
And I guess as we're talking about it, it's kind of, you kind of miss those snippets because it makes it feel like, you know, you're in the studio with the band and they're kind of riffing a little bit. So, I mean, I guess that is something I kind of miss looking on these, going over the track list on the original album. It's too bad. So after that, we get into side two, and it's I've Got a Feeling.
One, two, three, four.
Now, what's the difference with the naked version? I couldn't hear anything, but you tell me what you got.
I think the original Let It Be is a single take of one of the rooftop versions.
Okay.
And the Let It Be Naked is an edit from two of, or from both versions from the rooftop, because they did the song twice. So the second half of the song, I think John's part of the song is the same as what's on Let It Be the original. And I think the beginning of the song, Paul's part is exclusive to Let It Be Naked.
Okay. I love this song. It's a way, way big thumbs up. It's a great rocker. It's a fantastic Paul vocal. The guitar is awesome. And it's good to hear John and Paul together again singing.
Yeah.
When John goes into his part, I mean, that's just so John Lennon, what he says in his part of the song. It's just so cool. What's cool about this in concert, when they do it in concert, Paul's new drummer, Abel Laboral, does the John vocal. But so seeing it live is just really surreal, hearing somebody other than John Lennon singing his part.
Yeah.
But this is just a fantastic song. I love this song. It's a crank it up as loud as it'll go and just rock out. It's just awesome.
I'm going to have to check that out. I've never heard Paul do this song live. So I'm going to have to check that out.
It's really good.
The one thing I miss, another thing that I miss from Let It Be Naked, is that on the original Let It Be, when the two songs blend together, when Paul sings his song and John sings his song, they split the vocals on the left and right side.
Okay.
And so it's kind of cool to hear both of them singing split on, you know, you can hear them, you can specifically hear them because they're split on, in the two stereo channels. But on Let It Be Naked, they just keep them in the center channel, so they're singing on top of each other. And I don't like that as much.
Yeah, I can see that, why somebody wouldn't like that. But overall, how do you feel about the song?
It's a good song, but it's, I mean, it's, there, I, there are other songs on the album that I like more.
You don't think this song rocks, though?
Yeah, it rocks, but I don't know if I would give it my full-throated endorsement.
Just that beginning guitar part is worth price of admission, man. It's just awesome. I love that part. So now we're into the Long and Winding Road, which the stripped-down version, we've kind of already talked about it, that's on Naked, but I think it's really good. It's intimate. It's just Paul, piano, a little bit of percussion. The vocal sounds great. Now, I wanted to ask you, is one of the lyrics different on the Naked release? Doesn't he says left me waiting here as opposed to standing here in the original release? It's got to be different because that stuck out like a sore thumb to me.
I thought there was another change in the lyric too, and I left that page. I got out of that page, but there's another one where it's a different take because there are a couple ad-libs that Paul does at the end on the original Let It Be that aren't on Let It Be Naked. Let It Be Naked also restores the guitar and electric piano that Phil Spector mixed out.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought that was really cool. I don't know if I like it, but I thought it was cool. How do you come down on that?
This is another tough one. I appreciate what they did with Let It Be Naked, but the guitar and the electric piano have kind of an ugly sound to them. Yeah. It's not as clean as I'd like, but I can understand why they'd want to get rid of the orchestra and Heavenly Choir because it really is a bit much.
For sure.
So I wish there was some kind of happy medium, like Paul could use like some French horns in the background. They don't have to go completely overboard with a full symphony orchestra, just maybe like a brass quartet to add just a little bit to it. Because the guitar and electric piano just don't sound as nice as they should.
I agree.
It really sounds like a rehearsal for the song.
Yeah, that's where I kind of come down as well. I think you're right on that. But I still got to give it props for sounding more intimate. But I guess if you're rehearsing it, it's going to sound more intimate. So
yeah.
Paul did another version of this around the time of Flowers in the Dirt, didn't he? Wasn't there a B-side that he did of this around that time?
Yeah, it's on the Figure of Eight single.
Okay.
CD single. Okay, here it is. Let me see.
No, I got it.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got kind of a bluesy sound.
Yeah.
There you go. I like this version.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's got more of a polished sound to it. I'll take that version.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't know if his voice is as good as it was in the original, but
yeah,
it still sounds good, though.
Yep.
That's a great McCartney song, so you know, it's one of his best. For You Blue, did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. I'm still trying to find that lyric change in Long and Winding Road. Oh, I just remembered. It's Anyway You'll Never Know The Many Ways I've Tried, or maybe okay. Cried. That's in the original, and on the Let It Be Naked, Anyway You'll Always Know The Many Ways I've Tried.
Okay.
Or Cried.
I gotcha. For You Blue, another George song.
Mm-hmm.
Starts off kind of like an old-timey song. Is that a slide guitar I hear? I think it is. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's John playing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, George even says, "Go, Johnny, go."
Right. Yeah. This song is not one of his best, but just because the slide guitar is in there, I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. I like that sound.
Yeah. you can tell they're having fun playing it.
Yeah. But like I said, it's not one of my favorite George songs, but I'll give it a tentative thumb up just because I like the slide.
Yeah, and this is another song that they did on Concert for George, and it could be my favorite part of Concert for George.
Wow.
And well, I'm not going to tell you why, but there is something that happens during this song that is so cool that every time I see it, it puts a giant smile on my face.
Well, that's a resounding endorsement for this song,
then. Well, for the Concert for George version of it that George isn't even on.
Right.
But there's something so cool, but I'm not going to tell you. So there, everybody who doesn't have Concert for George, go and buy it and watch this clip, and you'll get a big smile too.
So how do you come down on this? You like it, or
yeah, there's not much to it. It's kind of hard not to like. It's an enjoyable song.
And then the last song on this, than the original release, because we've got one more they added for Naked.
Mm-hmm.
Get Back. Tell me what you got.
Well, another weird thing about this song is that the album, the version on the album, the Let It Be album that is supposed to be live, is actually recorded in studio. And the single version, which is supposed to be in a studio, is the one that was recorded live.
All right, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really strange. They've got this live intro where they're on the rooftop, you know, starting the song, and then it fades into the studio version of the song.
Okay.
And then after the studio version is over, they cut back to the live audience reaction of, you know, the wives and fellow Apple employees clapping and cheering. But that's in response to the studio version.
And where does John say, "I hope we pass the audition"?
It's a live reaction to a live version that isn't on the album. And as you, they did Get Back three times on the rooftop, and as you'd expect, the "hope we pass the audition" comment is after the third version. It's the very last song they. It's the very last song they did on the rooftop concert, just before the cops burst in to shut them all down.
And just a comment about the rooftop concert. John's wearing an awesome fur coat. So
yeah. And Ringo's wearing a ridiculous red raincoat from his wife. His wife, Maureen. And when Paul says, "Thanks, Mo," that's because of Maureen Starkey. She's the woman that really cheers out loud at the end of Get Back.
Oh, okay.
She's the woman you can really hear cheering. And then Paul says, "Thanks, Mo." That's because of Mo Starkey.
I like the marching sound the guitar kind of gives out to it. Great, it's a bluesy sound. Keyboards are awesome. Go Billy Preston. Paul's vocal is cool. His voice just sounds awesome on this song. I've always liked how he does his voice on this. And in the Let It Be version, is there a strange, just kind of like a fade out? It kind of just ends. You know, I mean, it's over. There's no wind down or nothing.
Yeah, it does end kind of abruptly, especially compared to the version that's on the single where Paul talks about Loretta's high-heeled shoes and low-neck sweater.
Yeah.
I think that's her mom's high-heeled shoes and low-neck sweater.
I missed that. Now that you mentioned that, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the highlight of the song right there.
That's only on the single, though. That's not on the Let It Be album.
And he still does, when he does it in concert, he does it that way. So, come on.
It's kind of funny, if you listen to the rooftop concert, he talks about... He talks about, "Get back, Loretta, you're playing on the roofs again, and you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get arrested." And that's because the cops were beating down the door of Apple headquarters, whining the Beatles to stop playing because it was a public nuisance.
Little did they know, that was it for the band.
Yeah. Well, not exactly. That's the last live performance, obviously. But
right. But I like this song, though. Either way, it's good. It's a great Paul tune.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He does a great job with it. Big thumbs up. And then we got one more song that they added to the Naked release, which is "Don't Let Me Down."
1, 2, 3, 4.
And I love this song too. John's awesome on it. His voice is great. The lyrics are cool. It's about Yoko again. It's got to be, obviously. That's kind of disappointing. I'm in love for the first time. I like that lyric. And it's the love that lasts forever. It's the love that has no past. Is that the right lyric?
I think so.
Because I've been trying to figure that out half my life. But in the naked version, you can actually understand what he's saying in the second half of that lyric. So I think I've got that right. It's a great sing-along song, I think. Paul's harmony is awesome. A little bit of keyboard, I believe, from Billy Preston.
Yeah, Billy Preston is just outstanding on this track.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love Billy Preston. Yeah, he really adds to a lot of these songs that he's on. Big thumbs up on this song. I just love this song. That's all I got.
Yep. I don't know. I believe the Let It Be original album is one version from the rooftop. And I think that Let It Be Naked is an edit from two versions from the rooftop. And the single version, yeah, that's right, it's not on Let It Be, the original Let It Be. It's on the single. It's is it an A-side or a B-side? I think it was with Old Brown Shoe, wasn't it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So I think that would be the A-side. So forget what I said about the Let It Be album. And it sounds like the single version is slower than Let It Be Naked.
Yeah, you might be right.
And they also mixed Paul's backing vocal a little bit out of the single version, so it's more prominent in Let It Be Naked.
Okay. That's also good to know.
Yeah, when I was comparing the two, it's like, wow, they sound so different. But I think it's just because they mixed Paul out a little bit more on the single version.
I wonder why they did that.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like she does. Ooh, she does. Yes, she does. And if somebody loved me like she do me, ooh, she do me. Yes, she does.
So, pulling this all together, what is your feeling on this album as a whole?
This album is better than I remember, actually.
Wow.
I liked it a lot more just listening to it this morning, I shouldn't say I liked it more. I appreciated it more. And last week I said that Abbey Road had better songs than Let It Be, and now it's like, I'm not that sure.
Really?
Yeah, Let It Be's got great stuff on it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's as good as Abbey Road. I think Abbey Road was the way to go out. I think Abbey Road's a fantastic way to go, you know, the swan song for the band.
Yeah.
I think this has got some good songs on it, but I don't know as a whole piece of music. I don't know if it's better than Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's the point. That's a really good point, because Let It Be has maybe four great songs on it.
I mean, yeah, it has some classics, and that's probably what everybody remembers.
But how many great songs does Abbey Road have, though?
Well, obviously the...
I can think of three.
Golden Slumbers, Medley.
Yeah, that's like a song snippet, though.
She Came Into the Bathroom Window. You Never Gave Me Your Money.
Nah, those are song snippets.
I like Because... And I like I Want You, She's So Heavy. We already drove that into the ground. I love that song, man. Here Comes the Sun and Something, too.
I know, yeah. And Come Together. Come Together, Here Comes the Sun and Something are the three outstanding songs on Abbey Road for me. But that doesn't compare to four outstanding songs on Let It Be. So there.
So what are the four songs you're referencing? I gotta know.
Across the Universe, Let It Be, Long and Winding Road, and Get Back.
Okay, all right. Well, I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like you said, Abbey Road has... oh, crap. comprehensive? Is that the word I want?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
It just has an overall greater feel than Let It Be, but I think song for song, I think Let It Be is a contender.
Well, you may be the first person to say that.
I know. That's just because I just don't like Abbey Road as much as everybody else does.
Yeah, well, we're all entitled to our opinions.
So we better be, or else this podcast is a total waste of time.
We've wrapped up the discography now. So, do you have any closing remarks on the entire Beatles catalog on a whole?
They're okay.
Yeah, they were good little bands.
they got some hummable little ditties, maybe. I think they passed the audition.
Oh, definitely. They definitely did that. I don't know. Give me your off the cuff one more time. Just give me your right now what you're thinking is your favorite Beatles song. Just right now.
Oh, my favorite Beatles song?
Yeah, just right now. Just off the top of your head.
It's usually Strawberry Fields Forever.
And
that's the one that I like. But I always view the Beatles as two different bands. The rock band and the global power band, where they had all the messages and all the creativity and all that.
That's fair. That's fair.
And it breaks like right around Revolver. I think that's the turning point.
Yeah.
And so
about that,
it's like Revolver is the tentpole, and everything before that is just the Beatles being a really great rock band, and everything after is the Beatles being a global powerhouse.
So if I had to give you my favorite right now, off the cuff, I'd say Eleanor Rigby.
Really? Wow.
Just because that's the one I'm humming right now in my head. So,
you know, I really should have picked a Paul song, now that I think of it, since this is a Paul podcast. But it'd be like before might be Drive My Car, the Beatles 1.0, and then Beatles 2.0 as far as Paul songs go. Oh, that'd be tricky. I'd have to go through their discography, actually.
Well, I mean, we just mentioned a couple of them on Let It Be.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd pick those as the best. It's Paul was like the creative instigator of a lot of the later projects.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny to see that he was subverted in a lot of these, where Sgt. Pepper was like his idea, but then John had the bigger songs on Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
And then Abbey Road was his idea, and then George has the bigger songs on Abbey Road. So it's kind of nice for us, since this is a Paul podcast, where Let It Be, I think, was Paul's idea.
It was.
And finally, he has the biggest songs on Let It Be.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. His output on that album is the best, yeah.
And Magical Mystery Tour is like that, too, where it was his idea, and I think that John had the stronger songs on it.
Yeah, I guess when we're looking at it that way, you're probably on spot on that.
So finally, Paul comes up with an idea that he actually able to take the ball and run with it.
All right. Well, we're done with the official releases of the Beatles albums, and now we're gonna. Next time we meet, we'll go back and look at Past Masters 1 and 2, and 3 shows from now. Then we get into McCartney. We'll get into the actual heart of our podcast, which was the intention from the very beginning.
Yeah, this is the biggest prologue ever. A 15 episode prologue.
But before we shut down today, I want to mention that Paul has been doing a lot of press lately for this Hope for the Future single, and he popped up on Fallon about a week and a half ago. But the most, I think, the coolest pop up was on Chris Hardwick's podcast, The Nerdist Show, and we talked a little bit briefly about that off the air, but I think that was a hell of an interview.
Yeah, it's a great event. It's one of the best ones I've heard. It was nice just to have him talk Instead of, you know, the Paul that's on and has to perform.
And I think he kind of talked about that a little bit, that idea of him as the celebrity versus Paul McCartney, mm-hmm. the grandfather, the father, the husband. Mm-hmm. And he kind of talked about how it's two different people. One thing that I was I don't like, but he obviously likes it. He doesn't like to do photos. So if we run into McCartney somewhere, he'll shake our hand, he'll talk to us for a little bit, but no photos on the cell phone. And
I got a photo of him.
Well, I know. But I want one with the three of us together. So I guess there's hope. If Hardwick can get Paul McCartney, maybe we can get him one day too.
Oh, yeah, sure, because we're equivalent.
Hey, I've been talking our show up with everybody. We're trying to get as many listeners as I can. but I did like that interview with him on Hardwick, so everybody should check that out, the Nerdist show. He's had some great guests on lately, and this was probably the pinnacle for me, obviously, being a huge Beatles and McCartney fan. It's just great to hear them, like Mick has been saying, just shoot the crap there for an hour, a little over an hour. Good times. It was a lot of fun. Well, let's remind everybody where they can find us. Eventually, they're going to find us there.
The website is thelongandwinyshow.com. You can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/longandwiny and on Twitter at twitter.com/longandwiny. And if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, you can email us at podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com.
All right. Well, I want to commend our editors and producers one more time. They've done a great, more than great, they've done an outstanding job over the last 15 or so shows. And it's just been a lot of fun. I've had a great time doing this. And the shows just sound fantastic. So,
is outstanding part of the drinking game? I think we gave some people alcohol poisoning just now.
Yeah, I say that a lot, but I think it's been great. They sound awesome. So I feel like we really got a real show out there, and it's been fun. I'm going to thank you as my co-host as well. I've thanked our editors and our producers, but you've been an outstanding co-host, and I thank you for all your corrections and, you know, bringing me up to speed on all this great trivia, and it's just been awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this, since you're the show creator.
Yeah, but I lean on you heavily, so I really appreciate it. It's been fun. So let's wish everybody Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's right. All the best for 2015.
And we'll see everybody in 2015 for another edition of Long and Whiny Show. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in 2015.
Keep it up, can you?